Inspiring conversations for the modern man. The Evolving Man Podcast.
Great to see you guys, Nick and Tyler from the Dosed documentary. You're back for a second time.
Thanks for having us.
How are you doing?
Great, man. Really good to have you guys on for a second time.
Thank you.
The first episode that we did was, I'm going to say 6 months ago. We had Adrienne on as well with us. So it was the four of us. And we talked about this documentary that you two created, where Adrienne was the focus, her journey, if I could summarize, attempting to recover from opiate addiction. You guys are in Vancouver. This was sort of a West Vancouver-based thing, which was very near and dear to my heart. There was a lot of shots in the film that of my home area. And, you know, I think this whole journey was very impactful for a lot of people to watch a person who, you know, on the face of it, looks like a normal person, right? Like we all sort of have an idea of what an addict looks like. And then when we meet the addicts in our lives, we're like, oh, but you can't be an addict. Like you don't look like a real addict. And we, you know, so this is sort of that exact journey of this person who by all rights looks like your average person. And she's addicted to opiates and suicidal and wants to end her life. And you guys are friends of hers and you come along and you've got a camera and you decide to do a documentary while you try to help her on her journey and try some new things. And maybe I'll just stop there. We recorded a whole episode talking about this journey and what's happened since then. And the film is Dosed. And at the time that we recorded, Dosed was not available to the public. And so we're talking now because things are happening and people can actually go and watch your film.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Dosed is launching onto iTunes or Apple TV as they call it now. They rebranded Amazon Play and Vudu. And so it'll be available in 5 or 6 different languages and in most countries, many countries around the world. You know, can't get into every single one, but maybe that'll come in time and add more languages as well.
So it's on Amazon Prime, it's on Netflix, and it's on Vudu.
And Google Play.
I didn't say Netflix. I meant iTunes. Yeah. Amazon Prime, iTunes, and Vudu. And
Google Play. Play. For the
Google
Android.
Play.
Yeah. It's on... yeah, it's available to rent or own on those platforms now. And, you know, obviously it's a great documentary. It won 5 awards. It did a huge festival tour and it was doing theatrical screenings up until it was supposed to kick off in New York City March 20th, but COVID said no. So we had to obviously shut down the theatrical tour and then it took... you know, several months with a huge backlog, all types of different movies that were in theaters, just scrambling to switch to online. And so ours is coming out now in December and it'll be there for everybody to enjoy and watch from home.
It's been a really interesting year for films, obviously. The most interesting year in film history, trying to release a film. You know, I went to see Tenet 4 times because it was the only film in the theaters and it was worth seeing 4 times in my opinion. But I have to say, like, I'm quite excited about this for you guys because I remember talking to you guys. We got together about a year ago and we watched the movie together. I think we brought a flamethrower, not a flamethrower, and played with that. I remember I have a gif of you, Tyler, blasting the flamethrower in the back alley. Not related to the film showing, but you know, I remember us trying to brainstorm together, like, hey, how do we like get this film out there? Because the group of us that watched it with you were so inspired and really wanted to get this message out to people. We were like, the whole world needs to see this documentary.
Yeah.
You know, for me as an addictions counselor and someone who sort of steeps himself in all media addiction recovery based, this is like in my top list of recommendations for people. So how do you guys feel? Are you excited that this is happening, or are you disappointed that you didn't get enough time in the festivals, or how are you feeling about it?
Ben, this is, like you say, this is the one of the most notable years in cinematic history, if you want to call it that. It was going to take a pandemic to slow down the Dost train. That was the only thing that would have stopped us, because we were working on this film, doing everything we could to get it out there. It's incredibly difficult to market a documentary about illegal substances, about mental illness and addiction. It's not like a mainstream topic. It's not Star Wars, where everyone's just sort of unplugging and they're just watching some sort of fantasy thing and not trying to think about actually what's happening in reality, right? It's a very, important subject matter, but it's not a mainstream subject matter, but it should be. And it is getting more mainstream all the time. And so we were doing our best. We had hundreds of screenings around the world that we created at a grassroots level, just like phoning up theaters, renting the theater, doing Facebook ads, selling out screenings all around the world. We started to realize that this thing had a life more than we ever hoped, because the amount of people and the support and people coming to watch and emailing us and telling us how much it meant to them, let us know we had something special here. And we finally figured it out how to, get traditional distribution and get a traditional theatrical release with mainstream theaters, just like putting it on all around North America and, all the publicity that came with that. And so that was the pinnacle of 3 years of extreme effort on Tyler and my part, and all the people that were involved with Adrienne's healing throughout the film, and their efforts, and all our supporters, and everybody's just like working towards this mutual goal that was really beneficial to so many people. And then just a worldwide pandemic. And I got COVID right when that happened too. So I was like sitting at home, like sick, couldn't breathe. This thing had been canceled, and we just didn't know what was going to happen. But now here we are, months later, we've gone past the backlog of all the films trying to get online at the same time and all the red tape that needs to happen to get on there. And we're launching, we've launched. And so, I invite everybody that's interested in psychedelics, mental illness, or addiction to check us out on those platforms. It's available everywhere now, finally, for people to take part of and share.
Yeah. And dostmovie.com is where you could go to link up to each platform. But I think you can just type in Dost now right into the platform. Super easy, super convenient. So we're really excited about that. You asked, are we excited or are we like disappointed? It is disappointing that we don't get to do more theatrical screenings, or that we weren't able to, but there's so much going on that you kind of, it's like, okay, from the film perspective, it's like, yes, we're disappointed. But then also, like, I mean, there were times when people didn't know if there's going to be food next week, or if the supply chains were going to be shut down, or if like this is going to like be killing people, and obviously it has been. It's a really sad situation. So there's just so much going on in 2020. But obviously, like, as humans do, we persevere, we push through, and there was already a mental health and addiction crisis. And that's getting worse now with the isolation and just the lack of, connectiveness that, human beings need. There's not as many fun things to do. Let's just say that, right? Whether it's concerts, sporting events, hanging out with friends, even they're putting restrictions on all of these things. And so there's people that were, potentially struggling with just depression, anxiety, and stuff like that. And these things are all getting worse. And so, a documentary like this is for everybody to check out. And whether it affects you directly or indirectly or a little bit or a lot, it's kind of an interesting thing, because psychedelics like magic mushrooms and others, they aren't necessarily just for people who are, suffering from a mental health disorder. They can help a lot of people and enrich their lives and give them profound like breakthrough, whether it's you know, sort of spiritual breakthrough or just like helping with stresses of everyday life, you know, relationships, stuff like that. It helps a lot of people.
Yeah. And you guys with this film, I'm not sure if you knew it at the time that when you started the project, there certainly was a revolution coming at that time. It had already begun, but boy, has it ramped up while you guys have gotten into production and finalizing the film and started showing it to people. You know, Fantastic Fungi, you know, Goop did an episode on mushrooms. Yeah. There's been so much more media about therapeutic doses of certain psychedelics. I mean, back when you started, and this is in the film, there was a lot about like microdosing, and people are like, you know, there's a lot of talk about like these like little micro changes that you can do with mushrooms, which, you know, there's some validity to, and we certainly need some clinical trials because when the changes are so micro, like it's very hard to measure them. But, you know, the antidepressant industry is massive, and so it's worth looking at this stuff. But now there's even more coming out, I think, around like therapeutic big doses of things being super helpful for not just people who are in crisis, but people who need a mental health break. You know, every yeah. person in life needs to stop and check in with God every once in a while. And some people do that through church, and other people don't do the church thing. And they, you know, work becomes their God from time to time. And it's, we don't necessarily want that to happen, but so, and we need to step back. And, you know, you guys live in the same city as me. There's a lot of people that their check-in with God is some psychedelic thing, whether it's a peyote as it comes through town once or twice a year, or an ayahuasca ceremony, or mushrooms, which are much more accessible and you can do them in your bedroom flat on your back in a safe place. You know, that's becoming more and more common. There is a revolution happening, and we see it at a government level that you guys are sort of running with right now. You know, and we could talk about it. You know, but I read the other day that, you know, everybody's seen marijuana and cannabis becoming decriminalized at some level here and there, and this country and that country. And I read even the other day that at the federal level in the United States, I think it's the House of Representatives that first creates a bill, and then it goes to the Senate, that they drafted a bill to decriminalize cannabis at a federal level, which is big news because all the states have sort of been doing this on their own, even though it's in opposition to cannabis being a controlled substance at a federal level. And then we've got, you know, where we live in Vancouver, apparently the city council drafted a bill to decriminalize all drugs in Vancouver.
Yeah, that passed. So that is now being sent to the federal government for the final approval. And that's what we need, really. If you look at, that's not just for psychedelics, that's for hard drugs as well, like heroin and meth and stuff, but it's about safe supply. Because yeah. there's people overdosing and dying every single day because the drug supply is toxic. It's full of fentanyl, and you're going to find that in the hard drugs, and you're going to find that in soft party drugs as well. Mm-hmm. And, I think in the news, just within the last week, there was people doing MDMA, but also cocaine at a party in Vancouver. Right. 7 people had to go to the hospital. You know, obviously whatever substance it was tainted with something, and everybody's having a bad reaction. They had to get the Narcan and stuff. And so, yeah, I mean,
it's evident to us all that it's not working. I think there's people of our generation and the one above have been around long enough to see that this like war on drugs thing isn't working. And, it's not saving anybody. It's not saving any lives. It's pushing this thing into the shadows, and we're seeing what happens when things are pushed into the shadows. And every 10 years, something comes along that's even more scary, you know, in terms of like how it's affecting people and how many people are dying from it. So things have to change.
And what won't change is people are still going to want to party. Mm-hmm. People are still going to want to experiment and use drugs. And, you know, and then obviously there's people that do unfortunately get addicted as well. And, you know, you're going to have people, using them in social circumstances. You know, and it's happened countless times where, you know, somebody just used it once at a party and they got the wrong, you know, like contaminated, drug, whatever it may be, and they overdose and die. Right. Yeah. And it's a really sad situation. And then there's of course people in the streets that are, having struggles, you know, just with like extreme toxicity and, never knowing what they're getting. You know, but it's good to see that the city, it's not only Vancouver, there's like cities all over the United States and around the world now that are moving towards this, decriminalization, you know, just so that people can have safer access and also they can allocate police dollars towards mental health and you know, taking care of people and helping them get back on their feet as opposed to, just like putting them in jail and then letting them out. And you know, they're going to go back to their same habits over and over if you keep like punishing them with that type of behavior. So.
Yeah. And one of the great things about, decriminalizing things like this and the trend that you can see where like, oh, okay, all of a sudden this is, you know, 10 years from now, this is going to be very accepted, if it's done in the right way. And there's a lot of people out there that know how to do psychedelics in the right way. And, so what you get is just like what you had with cannabis is you get all these businesses coming in, investing money. You've got investors pumping money into businesses that are trying to use psychedelics therapeutically for people. And there's stuff on the stock market. You know, I'm following one called MindMed. Which they're working on getting LSD or LSD type molecules that can help with depression and anxiety. There's Numinous, which is I'm wishing I had bought that stock 6 months ago because it's just, you know, starting to take off because there's a lot of money behind trying to treat people's pain and of one kind or another via more like natural methods. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so Numinous is working with, I think they're trying to work on chronic pain. And I think they're also working on depression and anxiety and they're using psilocybin and I don't know what else, but they've got a great team of doctors and they've got a bunch of money behind them to, you know, try to figure out how to do this well. And mm-hmm. So I just love that business is getting involved here and, you know, we need this kind of healing now more than ever. It seems like we're more disconnected from ourselves and from each other than ever. We're more connected to screens and social media and anxiety and depression is going up. Suicides are going up. Like, and you're right, guys, like 2020 has been kind of like a fanning the flames of all this shit that's been happening before, you know? And I know a number of people who have died this year, either from drugs or from suicide. And it's sad. And I attributed that to the COVID lockdown and, you know, all of the restrictions that are happening. I'm not saying I oppose the lockdown, although I'm critical of many of the methods, but it's just the consequence of what we're going through right now. Like we're isolating from each other and it, you know, people who are already depressed, already suicidal, go another notch deeper, you know?
Yeah.
And people are losing their sense of identity in a lot of times, in a lot of situations, because they're losing their livelihood, their ability to provide for their families, their ability to connect with friends and family. And obviously this is a debilitating time in history for people for a variety of reasons. You know, Vancouver and many places around the world before COVID was spiraling into a mental illness and opioid and other drug addiction epidemic. And, you know, that's certainly not going to be helped by something like COVID. So it's now more than ever, we need to start putting out information that's helpful for people to move past those kind of issues. And like you said, it's good that there's businesses that are looking to invest time and money and advertising into just things that actually work, because the efficacy for psychedelics is I think proven at this point.
Yeah, we just hope that these businesses bring it to the market in a good way that is accessible for everybody, and not trying to like come up with some new way of, isolating a molecule or something where people, you know, have to take it for the rest of their life or something, which is kind of what Big Pharma has done, is they've come up with these various medications, and really they are meant for you to be on them forever in a lot of cases. And in many cases, they don't work very well for people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we hope they bring it, you know, whatever's coming next, we hope that people are bringing it to market and they're not getting too greedy. And, they're here to actually like help people and, understanding that like maybe it's something that's used intermittently, like microdosing. If you do microdosing as it is right now, you're supposed to kind of do it for about 6 weeks and then you're supposed to take a break and just like reassess. And then, you can come back to it later if you want to. And if you do a big dose therapeutically, as people know, if they've done that, you kind of do it once and you don't really need to or even want to do it again for many, many months, sometimes forever. But, it's an interesting thing, right? Because it's kind of makes you feel better and it has long lasting effects. But how long? I guess it all depends on the person and a lot of environmental factors as well. So,
Medications, the way I see it, medications treat the symptom, especially in talking about antidepressants, they treat the symptom of the problem, which is not an imbalance in your chemical makeup. They treat that imbalance, but there's something else causing the depression. This is how I see it. And the same goes for anxiety, whether that's trauma, or some other ingrained pattern that's causing anxiety, runaway thought, circular thought patterns that are sort of ingrained in your mind. Those medications give you the serotonin boost or the dopamine boost or whatever it may be to level things out, kind of like supplementing your testosterone or any other chemical in the body that sort of needs to be in balance. But they don't treat the root cause of the imbalance, and psychedelics are meant to treat the root cause. And, the way I see that with addiction, and this is shown in your documentary, is that addiction, the symptom is excessive use of drugs, causing harm to yourself and others, compulsion to use, loss of control. Those are the symptoms. But the cause is like a deep pain inside of you, a disconnection from yourself, and a disconnection from the world. And the drugs are the solution to that. They're your, antidepressant for the depression, right? Of course, it's not socially sanctioned, right? So we judge the drug addict, where we don't necessarily judge the person who's depressed and taking antidepressants. We're like, oh, good for you. You got what you need. The drug addict is getting what they need momentarily. And of course, you end up needing more and more drugs to fill the deeper and deeper holes, because you usually create more and more pain on your journey to get your drugs. And, you're pushing your family away. You're getting fired from jobs. You're losing everything, basically. You continue to lose yourself further and further every day in addiction. And things like a heavy dose of mushrooms or ayahuasca or ibogaine or iboga, things which are explored in your film, those things blast your ego out of the way and connect the source of who you are, like sort of back to who you are in present day. Like if here is your avatar that you're walking around in and your spirit is back here, like when you're addicted, you're very separated from who you truly are. There's this like huge gap, and psychedelics like sort of merge that space between the two, and you reconnect to the source of who you are outside of all the trauma and the pain and what your mind says and what your ego says. And when you come back, there's this like feeling of reintegration, recalibration between your spirit and the avatar. And the psychedelics treat the source of the problem in that sense. Like they can really reconnect you to yourself. People report that all the time after a psychedelic journey. Like, I really feel like connected to who I really am and to like source and spirit. And that is what addicts are really striving to get when they look for drugs, and they can't find it. So, I'm hoping that, the people who are going to take this thing to the next level are able to, keep that essence that you're talking about, where whatever it is, it's helping people reconnect to who they really are, because we lose ourselves 1,000 different ways these days. We're so lost. So, that's my hope.
Yeah. The parallels between, drug addict seeking narcotics to alleviate their suffering and mask it or suppress it or just like get by day to day, and somebody going to a doctor and receiving a prescription for an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication that they continually take to alleviate whatever stresses or traumas that they've gone through and just manage and cope and not ever really deal with the root issues are just so obvious. It's really the same thing in a lot of ways, right? Except for one is more stigmatized by society. Of course, like the drug user going down to the street corner to get like, a shot of heroin or something is obviously stigmatized more. And historically, all people that were struggling with mental illness that would need to take a medication or something, they as well have been stigmatized as well, just not quite as much, I think, nowadays, right? But the parallels are still there nonetheless. It's the same thing. There's a void, and they're trying to fill it. People are trying to fill it with something, and they're trying to maintain. The problem with all those types of drugs, whether it be heroin or cocaine or an antidepressant, is they all have side effects, and they all prevent people from, it's not that they prevent necessarily, but they're not getting at the root cause, like you said, right?
Yeah.
And so there's no stigma or negativity towards somebody that's finding within an antidepressant or within a hard drug just a little bit of sense of relief from their pain or their trauma. It's understandable that humans would want that. But more so, it's like, before you do that, wouldn't it be better to try something that is non-toxic, it's not addictive, and it helps people uncover who they really are, kind of like what you're talking about, and get to the root of their own traumas and maybe move past them and get this paradigm shift that happens when you take a psychedelic and you have this brain reset where you're thinking about things a different way, right? So If I knew somebody that was struggling and they're not sure where to turn, what am I going to do? Should I go on medication? Like, I would hope that they would be able to have the gift of trying, say, a high dose of mushrooms first. There's, it's a relatively safe thing, all things considering the other options of like heroin or like a benzodiazepine or something, right? It's like a relatively safe thing to do. And it's not going to have any side effects. You're not going to get hooked. You're not going to be, waking up the next morning and injecting mushrooms into your veins like Vancouver city councillors tried to say people were doing, like, ridiculously and with no evidence recently, right? So right. It's just an amazing opportunity for people, all sorts of people. Who do we know that hasn't had troubles at some point or another? You don't have to be like clinically depressed or like have treatment resistant depression or like debilitating anxiety or some like horrific trauma to be feeling low and like needing some help to how to work through it. And so everyone can benefit from this.
Yeah. The only thing that mushrooms are unsafe for is your ego. They're going to vaporize your ego. And if you get into personal growth work, and you look at the essence of it, so much of the transformations, the big moments that happen, whether it's in a workshop with multiple people or whether it's in therapy with someone, a lot of it comes down to the dissolution of the ego and being able to sort of zoom out on your life or your problems or just like have a moment of all of your problems sort of disappearing and seeing what you are without all of those things. There's like transcending your ego is sort of the essence of all giant leaps that people make in their personal growth journey. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what psychedelics tend to do. There's sort of other micro elements that happen depending on what you take, but that's sort of at the core of it all, you know? And, it's scary, right? Dissolving your ego is scary, but it's safe. You don't actually need your ego, to survive laying in your bed. At least you do need your ego to drive a car or to swim or, you know, to move around the world. So, you know, if you're going to take a large dose of mushrooms, I don't recommend doing either of those things or flying a plane or what have you. But, I wanted to ask you guys, so leading up to the film, I think you guys were relatively new to psychedelics in your own personal journeys. And, you had a lot of contact with different plant medicines and facilitators, and you saw some amazing things in the course of this film. So I wanted to ask you guys if you've had your own large trips with psychedelics in the meantime.
Yeah. We sure have, actually. So, you know, before this all started, I personally hadn't done any psychedelics until just before we started filming. And this was coincidental. Nick and a couple of friends peer pressured me into doing some mushrooms with them in a good way. Yeah. I was just scared of having a bad trip or whatever, these stories and the stigma that you hear. And so I did it, and it was a really awesome time. And then since then we started, you know, connecting with Adrienne and like working on the documentary, but working on with her, just trying to help her as our friend, you know, to recover through the whole process. And, of course she was taking a lot of psychedelics, or large doses, a handful of times mm-hmm. over that period. And, you know, there's certain things looking at it, having not experienced it myself yet, it seemed very scary. You don't really understand what it all means, what the ego death is, or, you know, what you're going to experience inside of your own psyche, your own mind. But, finally, I can't remember exactly how long, say about a year into the process, I did a big dose of mushrooms. I actually ate the mushroom on the poster. So I don't know if you have seen that lately, but
yeah,
check out the poster, the big mushroom that was 7 grams. And so I ate that mushroom, and it was like an unbelievably profound experience. It was super, I would say, like stress relieving, and gave a lot of clarity around what Nick and I were working on. So at that point, through the editing process, like just mm-hmm. the longest hours, 7 days a week, we were pulling all nighters, but you know, we would work at minimum 10, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to get this done, because we just, you know, we just realized like there's an important story here after seeing what, you know, what the results were for Adrienne that more people need to see. And, it was unbelievable. And then since then I've done a couple more, in different settings, around the same amount, like the heroic dose is kind of considered 5 grams or more.
That's a big mushroom. That's a big mushroom, man. I used your poster, for the last episode we did. It's on my,
okay. On my there we go.
Is that it?
Yeah,
that's the guy.
That's a big one, man. That's scary. Good for you.
Yeah, it's funny too, because I ate half of it and I was like, okay, you know, and then just like 10 minutes later, you know, I was just like, you know what? If I'm gonna do this, I should just do this.
Do it.
And so I did it. And really the interesting thing is on the other side, it's like it doesn't matter what you go through, it's like you come out feeling so much better. Mm-hmm. And the next time I did it, we did a group ceremony. There was 20 people we did probably about 5 grams in a tea. And, you know, there were some people going around making sure everybody was okay. And it was different, but similar in the sense that, you know, you go through this process. That one was just feelings of love and thinking about my mom a lot. And, you know, probably in a similar situation through the editing process, it was just some months down the road, but mm-hmm. it was kind of long overdue. It was really, really cathartic and super stress relieving. And it was just like, wow, like I really needed that, should have done that months ago. And then, the last one was just 5 grams, but it was interesting because that one I was able to go to a different place. And it was almost like the first one was you kind of, maybe I was getting to know the mushrooms a bit.
Yep.
And maybe because of that, I was not going as deep as I could have, or there's some kind of distraction. Not that it obviously was like super deep and intense. And then the next one was like a little bit more. And then the last one was like something I can't even describe to people. It just sounds totally bizarre. I felt like I ascended into outer space in a way, while you're kind of like witnessing how the world works and seeing energy fields flowing. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of like thinking about it now. It's, you know, I'm not sure exactly what it all means, but it feels like, you know, we're all connected as humans, as a species, and also with other animals and everything on the planet and plants. And it's just kind of like gives clarity around, you know, how we should be treating each other. And we should all be doing a better job, to be nicer people and, you know, treat all people, all cultures, all religions, you know, kindly. But as you see, that's just not what humans do. Yeah. So then the question is like, how can more people experience that?
Yeah.
If you could experience that one time, I think if somebody was, you know, had like, you know, just like negative views or like, you know, they're like, maybe how to describe it. I mean, Paul Stamets says it best. He's like, psilocybin mushrooms makes people nicer people.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't everybody be allowed to experience that? And then also do it in a guided, you know, manner with somebody who's experienced to make sure that everything goes smoothly in a safe place and not having to worry about it being illegal or anything along those lines. Just like, yeah. Doing it and preparing and integrating the experience afterwards. So that's kind of my experience and you know, with mushrooms. And then I haven't done Iboga, which Adrienne did in the documentary. That one is really intense. It is a lot, takes a toll on the body, and it's something I would try, but it's just a matter of, you know, like when. It's not these types of experiences, kind of like you want to do it, but like do you want to. It's like, I don't want to do it today, but you know, it's something I'd consider down the road. But yeah. Then, you know, it's like all these other factors come into play because it's just such a commitment.
Yeah.
Even a mushroom session.
Yeah. Right? It's scary every single time. And I always find myself wanting to delay just a little bit longer. And my heart is always racing every time I begin,
right?
You know, because ego dissolution is never... you're not excited for it, you know, it kind of makes sense, but, I like what you're describing around, like, it's like you're doing work, you know, like you go into it and it's rarely like easy and pleasurable. It's most of the time, some level of difficult, some level of like too much energy or too much this or too much of that, but coming out the other side, you feel clear and you feel clean. And I like how you describe the your evolution through the first few trips that you've done, because I have heard that from many people, and I've seen that in my own journeys, where whatever medicine you're communing with, it gives you, there's like many, many, many levels to that, maybe infinite levels of that you can move through, like a, not like a video game, but levels of consciousness. And in the beginning, you're getting the intro and you're getting acquainted. And sometimes that's pleasurable. Sometimes it's totally freaky. And then you start to move through layers and layers and layers and layers. And I think as you progress, I've noticed that the work that I'm doing in that space, whereas previously I was like sorting through a lot of thoughts in my own mind and my past and maybe even like ancestral shit. Like I used to see war and shooting and killing and guns and just so much war in my visions. And I don't see that stuff anymore. What I get more is like kind of what you were describing, Tyler, is this like energetic stuff that's happening, energetic work, stuff that can't really be described. Like I saw a dragon and then I went down here and I went over there and like it was a dream, but more like way beyond that, you know, like whether it's just like colors and
I can't describe it. I tried to find like art or computer graphics to show people, and I can't find anything that is what I saw like in art or in real life. It's just I haven't seen it. Interestingly though, I've like described it to a few people and like they have seen that as well. Mm-hmm. Like they understood. And then it's funny, like this is the hardest thing to describe because like I don't know what I believe anymore, but there's something interesting out there when you have an experience like this. You mentioned before seeing God. And I don't know if you're meaning that in like the sense of like, you know, like Jesus Christ.
A person. Or, no, I'm not. Yeah.
Right. And so that's kind of an interesting thing because like when I was traveling through this energy field, I saw something.
Right.
And all the energy was flowing to it. And it looked like it could have been like almost like a statue or something, if that makes sense, but like in this like gold colors and just it's like colors that you don't even see, that you've never even seen before in your life. Yeah. But it was interesting because like, oh, it's like I saw something and I'm like, wait, is that what it is?
Yeah,
because like I'm not religious, but there's so many people that are, and then there's so many people that have conflicting religions, and then they start to fight over these different beliefs, and sometimes they're very minor differences in ideology, and now they're like fighting, and they even like go to war, and they kill like so many people because of this. And you know, one of the things I said after, I was like, well, like whatever that was, if that is God or a higher being or a higher power, it seems to me that human beings are like not doing it properly. Like whatever they're doing, you know, like maybe it's some variation of what I saw is what people worship when they go to mm-hmm. church, but then the part that and that's fine, but mm-hmm. you know, do it peacefully and still, like even if somebody like is worshiping the same thing, but it's, you know, a slightly different story, or maybe if there's two different things up there, whatever's going on, people should be getting along and being kind to one another and yeah. like have less suffering on planet Earth. So like, I think humans yeah. are doing something wrong. Yeah. And you know, if you're able to explore that world a little bit more, maybe you'd come back with a lot more insight. And I am curious to go and check that out again. It might involve upping the dose. I've been watching, I watched a little bit of Kalindi E's like high dose talks that he's done at Breaking Convention, and mm-hmm. for the viewers who don't know, there, you know, he's been known to take up to 40 grams of mushrooms, and he describes you know, similar things to the energy and stuff like that, and yeah. You know, it's, I think it just gives you like a lot longer yeah. time in that world, and
it stretches, you know, it out. I love what you're saying, Tyler, because a little while ago Shalina and I were in a hotel and we switched on this South African channel that it streams across the world that is a pure religious channel. It's like CSC or something like this. And the guy who started the channel is a pastor, and he speaks to this huge church and gives his sermons. And we were watching one of these sermons. It was like pre-recorded. And I just watched it for like half an hour, 40 minutes. And he talked about how he went into a trance when he was in his 20s, and he went and he met Jesus and, you know, got beamed with light and love and forgiveness. And then he came back and then Jesus said some things to him about carrying the message, and that he would give him a TV network to spread the message. And so here he is, you know, 20 years later, you know, and he has everything he ever wanted, and he's carrying the message, and he's praying for people, and he's super passionate. And when we shut it off, I said to Shay, like, this is so interesting to me because, he's not a liar. You know, the guy didn't strike me as a liar. I believe that he went into a trance and that he met spirit or a spirit. And, because I have been in many trances and met spirits, and I now understand the process because I've gone in and out a few times. And, I know that, like, when you're in there, you're in that space and you're encountering other entities and other balls of energy and things. And as you start to come back and your ego reconstitutes and you become you again, you can form all kinds of stories about what you saw and what it was and what it meant. And the truth is, you really don't have many answers to those questions, and you may never have answers to those questions in terms of what you met, why you met that thing or that person or that entity. You know, you may never answer those, but we go, you know, the ego reconstitutes, and I'm a Christian guy, and all of a sudden I'm like, I met Jesus. It must've been him. That's the only spirit that I believe in. It must've been Jesus. Mm-hmm. Maybe here's why, because I was thinking about, you know, preaching. And so Jesus came to me, and he wants me to preach. And so then I make it my life's mission to be a preacher. And, or I'm Islam. I'm a Muslim. And, you know, oh, Allah came to me and I have to spread the message. And I think all of these other things about, like, how you have to live and the commandments and all these other things are, like, they're organized for control and for different reasons. And they don't really speak to the essence in many cases of what these experiences are, why. And you're right. We get caught up. We get super caught up in the doctrine and the how and the where and the when and who should be doing this. And we fight each other over what true God is, you know, like my God, your God. And we're completely lost in that respect, you know, because it loses the essence of what you're experiencing when you're in a transcendent state like that, which is like pure love, forgiveness, like openness. You're not at war with anything, and you don't want to be like it. So it's, I hear what you're saying, like the rigidity and the judgment and the control is the polar opposite of what the spirit world is like, you know? So I like how you wrapped this up with, well, if we could connect there a little more often, like really connect, we would get a little more grounded in like what is actually asked of us as spirits in bodies, if you want to look at it that way, you know, how we actually want to be with each other and how we need to be with each other.
I didn't see anything in my mushroom experiences that told me that my way of thinking or my belief patterns were any better than anyone else's or superior or needed to be pushed upon anybody else. What I saw was just a fundamental connectivity and how we're all the same, essentially. And that was the prevailing feeling. It wasn't even visual so much. It's just like this understanding, this deep understanding on just like an emotional and personal level, that it's like, we're all the same. We're all connected.
Yeah.
So I totally, that resonates with me. It's funny, cause I'm not like, I've never been a religious person. Right. And so I've always been very much like pragmatic and practical, like cause and effect, and just like what can be discerned from the physical world, and not having many beliefs that were not represented in replicable reality, scientific reality, right? But you know, I've taken deep doses of mushrooms, big ones, you know, 7-9 grams since making the film, because, you know, I just wanted to experience what it is that we were making a documentary about, right?
Yeah.
And, just the incredible just sense of just ego dissolution, of connectivity with nature, and you know, like Paul Stamets says in the film, just like, you know, nature and everybody all around you and how everything's all connected, right? It's an incredible and very valuable feeling. And personally, even though I've never felt like I suffer from mental illness, man, I get bummed out about something sometimes, like we all do, right? Like I had a personal experience with a loved one that fell into addiction, and I was just devastated that this person had gone down this path, and they became totally estranged from me and not communicating. And I just wondered if they were going to be, you know, dead in a few months. And as like an empathetic person, I felt like a profound sense of just maybe some sort of responsibility. Like maybe I could have done something or said something, you know, oh, you got to try the mushrooms, right? Like maybe I should have said it harder. I never did try the mushrooms, right? You know, maybe I could have just approached the conversation in a certain way to get through to that person. I felt like really sad about it, right? Like, you know, as you probably know, I'm sure you know, the interpersonals between somebody who's in addiction and somebody who's not, it's a total tragic kind of thing. There's so much, like someone in addiction, there's so much that's good about them, and so much that's good about like a relationship between people. There's so much that's normal in a sense. And then there's like this other thing where there's the use and the tendencies, the bad, negative, destructive tendencies that happen surrounding the use, and just this thing. So there's a duality in the relationship whereby at times it's almost like a normal, healthy relationship, and you can see all that's good about that person and all that's healthy about that person and valuable to the world. And then there's the other side of it where it's like this is destructive thing, and this is like really painful thing, as you literally fear for their existence and for your own ability to just cope with the reality of what they're doing to themselves, right? And so I took mushrooms around that whole sense of pain and sense of failure, with just the intention just to be, you know, how do I move forward from this and not just feel like I could have done something more. And it was almost like an instant relief for me. It was like I was at a period of such low feeling and such pain surrounding this, and then like it just dissolved away like instantly. And I just knew that I'd done everything that I could, and in the ways that I had not done enough wasn't because there's anything bad or wrong about me. It's just that I'm just a human being, and I did the best that I could in that instance. And so I still felt an ongoing sadness for the situation, but it was contextualized and compartmentalized, put in a box in a way that was extremely helpful for me personally. Yeah. And during that experience, I didn't see God. I didn't see really visions or anything like that. I just felt like my way of thinking surrounding this and other things was just always going to be different. I just felt differently about it in a very positive way for me personally. So, you know, I really recommend experimenting for personal growth, not for partying so much, not for like just like, you know, goofing around, but like really like with the intention to like learn something about yourself and you know, improve yourself and become a better person. I really recommend that, which isn't to say, you know, whenever you're visiting different realms, there's going to be some stuff in there that is like almost worthy of just like a story, right? Like, yeah. You know, there's this, all this stuff that we're talking about, or I'm talking about, is about personal development and everything. But there's funny stories as well. Like me and Tyler did DMT together for the first time. And, you know, I took the pipe and I smoked it, and instantly I'm like folding through realities of incredible vivid hallucination, as if it is reality. And there's like an alien entity talking to me directly, speaking to me by name, and like lecturing me, actually. and I it was too much for me. So I tried to open my eyes, right? And I looked over at Tyler and whoever else was in the room, and they're almost like moving in this kind of like floating kind of amniotic fluid or something like this, right? And I was like, okay, that's worse, right? So I close my eyes, and I'm like going through this thing, and all I can think of is like, okay, this is a transient state of consciousness. Just accept it and move into it and see what it can teach you. Mm-hmm. Because I honestly was a bit scared. So like I go into kind of my experience, and it seemed to teach me something about like letting go and just not being attached to outcomes that you want, and just like letting go and just like releasing to whatever the world gives you. And I had a kind of like a profound experience, but when it passed, I opened my eyes, right? I look over at Tyler, and Tyler goes, "Did you see the colors?" I was like, "Oh yeah,
yeah,
saw the colors."
The most basic question.
It's really funny because I tried DMT once prior to that, but this time Nick is talking about, it's funny because he didn't describe anything about what he saw. Yeah. I think because Nick, this alien entity was bothering you a little bit and you didn't want to freak me out.
Oh, man, it was way too intense, right? So I was just like, it's good, right?
yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. And so when I just went in without thinking much other than like, oh, when you do DMT, you're supposed to see colors.
Yeah.
And the first time that I did it, I didn't really break through. So I did see colors. And it's funny though, because when you actually break through, it is like a fully immersive different dimension, extremely vivid. For me, it was lifelike. And there was like two worlds folding over and over, mm-hmm. hurtling me through space. There was a lot of like Egyptian themed sort of stuff happening. And at the very end, it was like my entity was like some kind of Egyptian goddess, and just putting out her arm and kind of motioning for me to like continue to go that way, like to follow her. And I kind of came out of it, and I was seeing like tracers, like red and green, or like little like highlighted tracers around people in the room, and I was kind of like explaining it, and you know, I got offered to like I could do it again, I could do more, and I could go right back in, and I was just like, oh no, I don't know, I don't think so, I'll save it for another time. It's just so intense. So but yeah, I know a lot of people, they're doing DMT now, and there's like DMT vape pens that are going around, and to my knowledge, people aren't breaking through on them. But a lot of people are like, yeah, I did DMT, and they're like, they just saw the colors.
Yeah,
which is fine. Might be a nice experience. It definitely was super, super interesting on different levels.
Yeah.
But I was like, ooh, but did you have somebody talking to you, or like, were you in a different world? It's like, no, I don't think so. It's just like,
right.
Yeah.
It's leveled down many times.
Yeah.
Wild stories, guys. Yeah. I really appreciate you guys sharing your personal stories a little bit. Because we've talked about psychedelics a lot on my show, but not many personal accounts. And I appreciate, you know, how you guys are sharing some of the therapeutic benefits that your journey's brought. You know, like Nick, I think your mushroom trip sounds like 6 months of therapy, you know, in one day by yourself, you know? So yeah, really beautiful. So, okay. So Dosed is out. Dosed is finally, like, you guys have done all the work to get Dosed out to the public. People can go watch it on their platform of choice. Now, you guys have been promoting it a lot through Instagram and through all the channels, you know, trying to spread it as far as you can. I mean, I saw Tim Ferriss did a shout out, you know, whatever, 6 months ago in Five Bullet Fridays, which was awesome because I think he's got like 1.5 million or 2 million people that he emails that to. So congratulations on that. And what's next? What's next for you guys?
Dosed 2.
Dosed Tell 2. Me about Dosed 2. What is it about?
Well, you would be aware of this. So for those of you who are not aware, that there's been a huge progress in Canada with respect to getting access to magic mushrooms for therapeutic purposes. And so what's happened is company Therasil has been petitioning Health Canada for a long time to allow patients who have been diagnosed with a terminal illness access to magic mushrooms so that they can do a high dose guided journey with a therapist and, you know, overcome the anxiety that they are facing around specifically like the diagnosis and the uncertainty of like what's to come and, you know, knowing that their life's going to be cut short, significantly shorter than it should be. Right.
Yeah.
So, it's like an awesome group of people that are involved in this. And, we were approached by somebody who's been sort of started out filming it. And then he, you know, he's aware of Dosed and, you know, and knew about us. And so he asked if we could like help him, you know, bring it across the finish line, you know, and finish it essentially. And so we spoke with him and set everything up that we would take this project on. And, of course, like Nick and I, you know, put our creative heads together and, you know, we realized like not that much of it has been filmed yet. And so like, we're now following this whole journey and this whole story as it unfolds. So it's about, you know, using magic mushrooms. It was in Dosed. It's kind of interesting. In Dosed, we didn't know what we were doing really when we started out. You know, Adrienne wasn't necessarily doing things the correct therapeutic way, but everything still worked. And then finally we met people who knew more about this, and then they took her under their wing and really, you know, helped her with higher doses and the Iboga and Ibogaine for the opioid addiction. And so now that Nick and I have kind of come through the other side of that, now we have, you know, a lot of experience really immersed for the last 3 years in the psychedelic community. And so we're kind of, you know, focusing this next documentary on this specific story that's happening. And, you know, we're going to come at it as a documentary about mushrooms and psilocybin, essentially, which would really dive into the science, the history of it all, and then following, you know, a woman's journey with the magic mushrooms and like the therapeutic doses and talking to her family, her children, and many experts in the field as well, with respect to like psilocybin and magic mushrooms. Nick, want to add to that at all?
Yeah, just that it's so the application for psilocybin for end-of-life anxiety is it has been shown through clinical trials, like through Johns Hopkins, where there's a high efficacy with leading to increased quality of life as people are, as they're marching towards their final days on the earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, the obvious question is like, well, if psilocybin's okay for end of life anxiety, what about life anxiety? Like, why is it so like constrained on this narrow application, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's just how clinical trials work. They they pick something that can get approved, and they make it very regimented with then those goalposts. But of course, like this becoming legalized in Canada for this application is going to lead to it being available for other applications, like just anxiety or depression or whatever.
Yeah.
It's an incredible story. I think this is going to be a film that's going to touch a lot of people and promote a lot of healing in the world. We have a family. Imagine having, you know, loving children, loving husband, everything that you want in your life, all sort of established. And then you get that diagnosis where you have a terminal illness and you're not given very much time to live. The sense of just sorrow that you're, you know, I guess like leaving your family behind, that you're not able to provide for them the way that you want, that they're going to be suffering without you, that you've abandoned them in some way, even though it's not your fault. Like all sorts of these things I think are prevalent amongst people in that situation. Not that I'm an expert, I've never had that experience myself before, but like, you know, a lot of people have had these sorts of experiences and they would be able to speak to it more than me. And if there can be an alleviation of that and a sense of acceptance and grace and just positivity surrounding the end of life and that process, which is a natural process for all of us, it's a wonderful gift for society and for families. And so that's what this film's about. And we couldn't be more excited to be filming it. It's in development right now. We're not like far towards the finish line, mm-hmm. but we've begun it. And we're looking forward to the future and just getting this film out there, hopefully, as long as we can navigate all the hurdles that are involved with creating independent film. Like, again, we're not funded, right? So it's going to be a matter of figuring out how to make it, how to get funding. Anybody that wants to contact us to be a part of that, helping produce the film, helping to make it happen, get it out there to an audience, you're welcome to hit us up through dosemovie.com. We'd love to talk to you about joining the team to that regard. But we somehow managed to make Dose with the help of many people that helped us produce that film and create it and bring it to market. If you want to call it that, bring it to market. I'm sounding like a capitalist, right? Like bring it to people, to viewers, to benefit from it, right? Yeah. You know, we're going to somehow manage to connect with the right people to do it this time, we hope as well. So
yeah, very courageous pursuit. You guys are you know, you're creating a film in a area of subject matter that is, you know, used to be counterculture and is like moving towards more normalcy, but it's not been easy for you guys. You know, like we have kind of become friends throughout this process. We've been in contact back and forth over the last couple of years, you know, and I've watched you guys on social media and I know you guys have told me you've had plenty of issues trying to share your information because it ends up being flagged as illegal activity, just promoting your film, right?
That's an interesting thing to navigate. So social media is, I'd say for about 2 years now, they started banning words. So psilocybin was one of the first ones. And, you know, we would be using psilocybin in every single post when we started out. And then we realized that like, oh, there's like a big drop off in reach. And then, you know, we maybe out of curiosity, like, oh, check out the psilocybin category on Instagram. Well, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So for some reason, they've taken that word and they've banned it. And then there's a whole bunch of related words that are completely banned as well. And, you know, it's led to shadow bans and, you know, it's a mystery with social media. We never know if we're shadow banned or we're allowed to just post and have the reach, you know, happen organically. And you never know what word is going to be banned next as well. So we're like super careful and kind of gun shy, trying to like be diplomatic. I know that magic mushrooms is fine to say, or at least it was last time I checked. But at some point, like if psilocybin is banned, magic mushrooms obviously is going to get banned. It's just a matter of when, right? Yeah. And so if you have that in all of your posts for months, then they go back with robot algorithms and they just start blocking and removing images. And that started happening recently on our Facebook account. Things we posted 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, whatever, it's all kind of random. And there's like, this has been flagged. And it's like a picture of a mushroom that I took on a walk in the woods. Yeah. Just like, ooh, mushrooms, right? Yeah. Not a magic mushroom, just a mushroom.
Yeah.
And it's like blocking and banning that. And you know, it's like, if you investigate it, it's like, well, maybe one of the words in that post from almost 2 years ago is now banned on according to the algorithms or whatever policies they have in place. So yeah, it's interesting because our page also got flagged as like a political cause,
right,
or something of that nature. This was early 2020.
Yeah.
And we noticed that was challenging to overcome, but we just kind of like stepped away from social media for several months, and you know, we're back on it a little bit now. We've opened up our own accounts,
right.
Our own, like we've never been on Instagram, but like we're on Instagram now. Haven't posted yet. I got to figure out what to post and like get into it. Right. But it's almost like, it's like if they just come and like, you know, the next thing is they could just shut down the Dosed movie page completely. And then what, you know, you're kind of left with no real options. It's a kind of unfortunate censorship and monopoly, and there's, you know, no real other places to go.
Yeah.
We find Twitter doesn't really work that well, and Facebook and Instagram are owned by the same person and generally have the same rules.
Yeah.
A couple of people have mentioned other platforms, but just like, you know, it's like, how, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's mostly just me and Nick, and like how many platforms can we be posting on? And really the obvious ones where most people are Instagram and Facebook, and those are the ones people engage with. But
yeah,
it's kind of challenging. Have you noticed that at all with your,
guys,
your
posts? I've been shadow banned for like most of the time I've been on Instagram. Like when I go back and look, there's almost no, like, and I'm hashtagging like men's work. Maybe I am hashtagging plant medicine, psychedelics from time to time, you know, and it's a pain. And what you guys need most is people promoting your stuff themselves. I find the hashtag thing to be quite annoying and not very functional anymore because of what you're describing, the shadow ban issue and how many words are not okay. And so I'm going to share your stuff. Rising Woman's going to speak about your film as well. And, awesome. You know, at some point it'd be awesome to get either me or Shalina, doing an interview with Adrienne. And we just, you know, love what you guys have done with the story, and the essence of what you're speaking to here, is so important for the whole world to see. So just keep doing what you guys are doing. Don't let the little, snips that are happening from social media, et cetera, bog you guys down. Just keep creating what you're creating. And those of us who have some audience will just do our best to keep fanning the flames for you guys, and it'll keep growing. You know, I think despite how crazy this year was for you guys, look at where you were at a year ago, and things are moving. They're still moving.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's been a crazy year. And there's one other thing too that's interesting is I was really worried that COVID was going to, you know, just stop the momentum that the legalization of psilocybin in Oregon was taking on. Like they looked like they were collecting all enough signatures, and then as soon as that hit, they were having troubles collecting signatures because of all the various like lockdowns and quarantine and stuff. But everything seems to be moving forward, and it's amazing the progress even in 2020 as far as psychedelics are concerned. There's been more cities have decriminalized plant medicine, like DC and Ann Arbor in the United States recently, Oregon with their legalization for therapeutic access to psilocybin, and even here in Vancouver. City council voted unanimously to decriminalize all drugs. And so this is the type of thing that keeps needs to keep happening. And yeah, as you said, there's this wave happening, this renaissance, if you will, psychedelic renaissance. And since Nick and I started helping Adrienne and documenting her journey, like Denver decriminalized mushrooms, Oakland decriminalized plant medicine and plants and mushrooms. And then, I think Santa Cruz and a few other cities as well. So it's just like pillars keep getting knocked down. So it's very, very positive.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Onward and upward, man. Yeah, we got to wrap this thing up, but as always, I'm really happy to talk to you guys and to see what you're up to and to see that you're continuing to carry your message. And, I'm happy to be a part of your team spreading. You're the media creators and I'm like, creating my thing to spread your media. And yeah, I'm just happy to support you guys. Yeah.
We appreciate what you're doing and we really thank you for the support. It's an uphill battle, because the way that you advertise is through social media nowadays.
Yep.
And if those people that own those platforms are censoring your message, then it's sort of ridiculous, because like if we were just allowed to say, hey, there's this movie about mushrooms for mental illness, everybody's interested in that. There's millions of people that are interested in that. They would just get that content and they would just, cool, thanks, let me watch it.
Yeah.
Awesome, right? Awesome. But it's being prohibited, being censored, and it's an uphill battle, but can't stop now, right? So thank you for helping.
Yep. Yeah, so people should follow Dosed Movie on Instagram, Facebook, watch the film, and share it with your friends, right? Share the social media posts, spread the message, post on your Facebook that you watched this film recently, post a link to for people to watch the film, make a recommendation. So many people are on lockdown right now or some version of it. Everybody's watching movies. So folks, the best thing you can do for your friends is share a good movie for people to watch, right? So share it on your social media and spread the message.
And sign up at dosedmovie.com. And we'll have updates. We're adding a resource page and, some other interesting stuff. There's always psychedelic resources on there as well. People in the film, their websites are on there. So if anybody has any like really deep questions about getting access to these medicines, there's opportunity to explore that there. And, we will add the Dosed to, documentary information and trailer and stuff like that to the main dosedmovie.com website once the time comes. So yeah, thanks Ben.
Thanks guys. Fantastic to see you again. Good luck.
Lovely chat. Thank you.
All the best.